listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake Up Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this international interview with upcoming DJ, groundbreaking DJ, I should say, Andrew Armitage, known as Andrew A. How are you, Andrew?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me.
And just so our listeners know, you can hear it in his accent, but he's in the land down under. What city are you in Australia?
I'm in Adelaide, so I'm in South Australia. And I love it down here. It's beautiful, super sunny. But I wish I could come up to LA.
Well, you'll have to make it. I've been to Adelaide, so now you have to come to LA. I remember going to a bunch of vineyards when I was in Adelaide, and mm-hmm. I remember going just all over. A lot of like beautiful hillsides and just like greenery and just awesome. Adelaide's awesome. So I got nothing but love for Adelaide, man. It's a great city.
Oh, good to hear. Thank you so much.
So let's jump right in. You're one of our youngest guests, and that's not a dig by any means, because you and I have recently collaborated on some tracks, and I wouldn't collaborate if I didn't think you were just on the cutting edge, because you are making some amazing beats. You're doing a lot of sounds that are like really different and fresh. So first, let's talk about how you got interested in EDM or music making, and what kind of drew you to wanting to be a DJ and making beats?
Yeah, cheers. So initially it began with me just like on my phone at the time when I was super young. I just got GarageBand, and I really enjoyed just messing around. And I was always a super creative kid. So that was about when I was like 11 or even 10, just on GarageBand, just, you know, messing around with loops, like nothing good, but just having fun really. And then I got to about 12 and I was really enjoying it. And I asked my dad, who at the time, and he still, he mixes audio, and he used to make some music as well for himself. And I was asking him, like, how do I, you know, take this to the next level and like work on music that's better? And then he introduced me to this program he uses called Studio One, which is the door I use now. A lot of people use FL Studio or Ableton or something like that, but I'm one of the unique people that use Studio One. So that's kind of how it began.
I was going to ask you what your DAWs was, because Ableton, you know, a lot of DJs use Ableton. I use Logic for most everything, and then when I'm in a studio, I use Pro Tools. But I know Ableton is like the norm. Tell me what facilitates you wanting to use Studio One, or what kind of attributes it has that kind of make it more exciting for you, more creative?
It's kind of just what I got introduced to, like, at the time. I didn't really know about anything else because I was so young, so I just kind of asked my dad, like, how do I make music? And he kind of gravitated me towards that program. I've tried out FL Studio, and I did use Ableton for a little bit of time, but I really just like the workflow. It's very drag and drop, very it was very simple for me to work out, and then it was kind of easy for me to just make ideas super quickly and just kind of let my brain do the work more than me trying to figure out stuff. So that's why I love Studio One, and I continue to use it to this day.
That's awesome. You know, I wanted to ask you, because your drops, they are so heavy. I mean, when I say that, it's like, it's the biggest compliment, because, you know, like, I'm a musician, I play guitar, I play piano, I've been singing my whole life, and I've been collaborating with DJs, and man, you make the meanest drops, dude. They're just so grooving. The sounds are so unique. So tell me, like, are you finding like samples on Splice? Are you kind of like layering like a bunch of different samples? Like, what's your kind of like your core technique to like finding the sounds that, you know, add to your drops?
Good question. I did recently get Splice, and it's been very helpful. Especially finding samples that I just don't have on my computer. Like, I find the most random stuff on Splice, and then I'm able to just kind of turn it into like a unique sound or something. But yeah, I've always used, you know, synths like Serum and Silenth to kind of try to sound design and make unique sounds. And yeah, especially I actually really love Splice and the stuff that's on there. I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to say my sort of go-to technique on a song.
Start with a drop? Do you start with like an intro? Like, you know, when I write a song, I usually love starting with a riff and then I go into a verse. And then sometimes, you know, there's in the very rare circumstance that I start with a chorus, sometimes I'll start with a chorus. Do you start with a drop ever, or do you kind of like build up into it?
Usually I actually start with the break of a song. So I'd kind of start with a chord progression or maybe like a melody idea I have in my head. And then I'd turn that into a break. And then from that break, I can kind of tell in my head what the drop would be like, and then sort of go from there. If I'm starting from the drop, there's too many ideas in my head. It's like, what genre do I make it? What sounds do I use? What kind of bass do I use? You know, stuff like that. And then, so when I start with just some simple chords, it's really easy to sort of go into a drop and go into an idea that I think is really cool.
And who are some of the DJs right now that are inspiring you the most? Because what I love about this world, and this is something I think I've experienced more with EDM than any other genre, is how inclusive it is with collaborations and other DJs collaborating with other DJs, and you know, a lot of people kind of boosting up. You've gotten a lot of love from David Guetta and Steve Aoki. You know, I met Steve Aoki, I don't know if I ever told you this.
Oh, wow.
When nobody knew who he was, okay? And he used to spin at this club. It was like a Sunday fun day club in downtown LA called Downtown Standard. And he did a mashup of Radiohead and Marvin Gaye. And it was one of the coolest mashups I've ever heard. And I went up to him and I was like, yo, man, that mashup was one of the most creative things I've ever heard, because it was just not what you're expecting. He had a good driving beat. And this is before, like, he started throwing the cakes and the whole bit.
The whole
back and super cool. And I haven't seen him since, but we played on a couple festival bills. But I love that he gave you props. I love that David Guetta gave you props. He gave you props on another song he did, too, which is awesome.
Yeah, Shine, yeah.
So tell me some of the DJs that you're heavily influenced by.
Yeah, well, first of all, I didn't even know Steve Aoki was from LA. That's pretty cool. It's tricky to say just because there's so many people coming up nowadays. And like literally like every week I just see new people like releasing awesome songs. I'm like, damn, what? Like, where were you my whole life? I got to say my friend Frost is super cool. He makes some great music and we've been friends for a long time. Also talking to this DJ called Repeat. A lot. He's released on Revealed a few times. He goes to the Herman Brood Academy in the Netherlands, which is an amazing school that some top DJs went to kind of learn their skills.
Huh.
My boy Nesta Malcolm in Canada as well. He's a really cool.
So you like a lot of the underground kind of like up and coming cats.
I guess so. It's hard to call myself up and coming, but I don't know. I try to stay humble.
No, I mean, you know, what's interesting is a lot of the sounds and a lot of the people that you just mentioned too, they're doing really ingenious, creative sounds.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You know, and it's awesome because it's like, it's real easy to become stagnant in this art form because everybody's using a lot of the same samples and sounds. And then you see the ones that are, the difference between good and great are the ones that are taking some of those samples and mixing them with other samples that make them sound alive and different and just more kind of like on point than anyone else. And you're one of those cats. So
yeah, thank you so much.
What draws you to a DJ when you're listening to their songs? Is it how a song builds? Is it the drop? Is it the whole atmosphere of it? Tell me what are the ingredients of a song that draw you to it when you're listening?
Really there's so many genres now, especially future house, where a lot of things are super saturated and I hear a lot of the same sort of ideas. It's almost like I'm hearing the same song just over and over. So when I really hear like a unique you know, lead or even like a unique like captivating melody that can kind of stick in my head like all day, it's really something special. And yeah, there's been a few artists like the ones I mentioned that really sort of gripped me to their sound and made me really want to listen to more.
Now you're 18. I don't know if I think you can go to clubs at 18 in Australia.
I can. Yeah.
Do you ever spin at clubs, or do you kind of like you want to build your kind of following online? Like, what's the game plan? How do you kind of get listeners to kind of know who you are? I know you've got some songs on various labels and really great labels like Found Frequencies, Lost Frequencies, and Mix Mash, and a couple others. But like, how do you feel is the best way to kind of garner attention?
Best way to garner attention? Well, I think labels are a really great platform to really get your music out, especially when you don't maybe have money to promote the song yourself. If you can find a label that will help promote your song, you know, in exchange for, you know, any sort of royalties from the song, I find that to be quite a good deal, especially because I'm trying to grow, and being a live performer is a big part of my, you know, image as well. I really want to play live, and I have been lucky enough to play club shows this year in the midst of COVID, and start, you know, even traveling to play shows, which has been crazy at my age. But yeah, I think unless you're some promotional wizard and you can like promote your own songs like crazy, then I think labels are really one of the best platforms to really get your music out there.
It's smart. And you know what? It's pretty cool because you've been, what I really respect, and you know, this is how I was when I started out playing music. You have a lot of hustle and you never should lose that, because that's what's going to get you to the next level, as you know. But, you know, when you're creative as you are, do you ever hit like obstacles where you don't feel as creative on some days as others? Like, what are some of those creative blocks that you hit sometimes?
Oh, totally. I hit a limit. Some months is just so hard to make anything that I'm happy with. And it's literally like a switch. Like, my creativity just turns off, and I just, even though I want to make music, like nothing just comes out, and it's so annoying. And it makes me feel like, you know, a little bit like worthless or something, because like, oh, I can't make a song right now, but everyone else is working super hard. And so it is really hard to kind of step away when I'm in that sort of creative writer's block. But yeah, so I do get those creative challenges quite a lot. But what helps me, and what's helped me a lot is Splice, actually. Just going through and looking for like new ideas, new samples. Even if I hear a sample, I don't have to use it, but it kind of gives me an idea like, oh, I can make something like that, or I can see the sample fitting in a song like this, and then I can sort of start to build up ideas again. But yeah, something I've learned this year as well is just taking, you know, breaks. You know, as soon as I know that I can't, you know, make a song today, I'm like, oh, I'm just not in the right mind frame. Like, I used to just push and push and really try to make stuff, and nothing would be good. So I really just learned that I have to kind of, you know, oh, I'll try again tomorrow kind of thing.
That's smart. You know, it's a lot of people don't understand, as artists, you're trying to capture lightning in a bottle, and it's half of the game is just showing up. It's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to show up and see if it'll work. And it's so deflating on the days where it doesn't work. You know, it's
really
like so frustrating, because it's like you're fishing and you're not going to catch anything. But then those days that when you do, it's like, oh my God, this is it. How do you know when a song or a sound strikes you and you're like, okay, this is something I want to release and push, or this is jamming? Like, what is that instinct that you have when knows something
is right? There is an instinct, but I just can't describe it. I just know that it's right. Like, I made a song the other week and I'm like, yeah, this is it. Like, I just know that it's right. I can't describe it, but there's just something unique about it or super catchy about it, and I'm like, yeah, this is what I've been waiting for, you know. And it's kind of especially after I've been you know, dry for quite a while, and I haven't been able to make a song for a little while. I'm like, man, am I going downhill, or like, what's happening? And it'll just come out one day, like, where I just kind of come up with a really good idea, and I'm like, yeah, I got to finish this.
Well, let's play something. What do you want to play us first?
Ooh, I'll play one of the newest tunes I have. It's with Frost from Mumbai, and it's called Real Fool.
Awesome. Okay, here's Andrew A. and Frost with Real Fool. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's right.
I tried to say the word, but I'm not talking. I'm a fool, I treat you like I did a shit. You said that it's my fault that you're not gone.
Yeah, man, that was slamming. Woo. My bulldog Otis just showed up. Let me see if I. Oh, he's out the door.
bummer.
He may come back in a second. But, man, that was slamming. What a great song. What a great vibe.
Thank you so much.
What started first? Did you kind of have a vocal, or did you kind of send a vocalist an idea? How did you guys come up with the concept?
Yeah, so that song's really special, actually. I really love that song, first of all. It's got such awesome sound design, such a unique drop, and such a funky break as well. But that song really started with Frost sending me this vocal he found, and he thought it could be a really cool track. And then what we usually do is we, you know, hop on Zoom or hop on Discord and share each other's screens and just come up with ideas. And I think the first thing I did was make a really cool, like, jazzy kind of chord progression, as you might have heard in that track.
Yeah, totally.
And then from there, I built the breakup and got those really cool drums and the break and that really analog bass sound.
I love the bass. The bass is so slamming.
It's so awesome. Then we worked on the drop and I had this awesome vocal sound. It was like, da-da-da, da-da-da. And I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool if I pitched that down and, like, put it in the drop somehow. Honestly, I just put a bunch of, like, random kind of elements in the drop, but it all kind of worked. Really surprised. Yeah. And the old version was, quite a bit different in the drop, but then we, sent it to the label Found Frequencies and they gave quite a bit of feedback and the song's actually a lot better now because of that. Shout out to Felix. I love that song. Thanks so much for loving it as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really, really cool. How do you find when you get, maybe you have like this hot track and then you send it to a label and a label wants to change it or mix it in a different way. How do you find like taking some of those kind of critiques or how do you work around them?
it's frustrating quite a lot of the time because usually when I finish a track, I'm like, all right, it's finished. Like I can't imagine it any other way. So it's kind of like, I understand it because they're trying to obviously push the label in a certain type of direction and they can see potential in my song and they're trying to, you know, change it to make it like work more for them. And so it's more successful, or whatever, but it's actually pretty frustrating sometimes when I'm like, nah, I got to keep this sound. And they're like, change it. I'm like, no. So, but usually I kind of succumb to that and I just kind of do whatever. 'Cause I know obviously I'm trying to impress them almost. I'm trying to, you know, get on their platform and I'd kind of have to make it how they would want as well.
That's smart. But also, you know, one little tip, like you should be the artist that you want to be. Like best advice somebody ever gave me when making music was make music you want to hear.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like I've had A&Rs at labels that have told me, oh, it needs to be more this, it needs to be more that. And then 6 months or a year later, they're not even at the label. You know what I mean? So
Yeah. I've seen that a lot too, honestly.
Yeah. Sometimes you're changing for people that may not be working in the same label 6 months later and you have somebody else. So like keep making what you believe is the right sound because at the end of the day, you're leaving the world, and this is something I think about all the time, you're leaving the world with music. You know, that's what you are. That's your gift.
100%.
So it's so easy for anybody in the industry to say, oh, yeah, change this or do this just to sound important or that they know what they're talking about. But, man, I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, they don't know how to make what you're making and they don't know how to do. So, like, sometimes when I hear little notes like that, I'm like, you know what? Why don't you make me a beat? And then I'll and you twist it, you turn the tables around, and then you see exactly what their output is and why you shouldn't be listening to any of their advice. You know what I mean? So
100%.
Keep doing you, man. Keep doing you. But I like that you're playing the game and you're willing to kind of like bend a little bit just to.
Just a little bit. I try to keep it as authentic as I can. Yeah. 100%.
I feel you. 100%. So tell me when you're making a beat, you obviously start with a blank canvas.
Yeah.
Is there like a certain BPM that you're hitting that you know will be at a certain, you know, target? Or do you feel like the groove or the sound dictates that or you're constantly experimenting? Tell me how you whittle down to get the right tempos for songs.
Yeah. Well, really a lot of my songs are in the house sort of realm. So that usually ranges between like 120 and 130 BPM. I think Real Fool is something like, it's a bit slower. It's maybe 120 or 125. Yeah, I don't know. I've never really thought about this. Yeah, so I kind of always make house music, which is in that tempo range. So that's pretty easy. You know, like when I have a blank canvas and there's like too many options to make, like the kind of lesser options I can give myself, it's good because then I can actually make something without just wondering like, oh, should it be this tempo? Like then I'd end up stressing about so many little things. So really, I love making house. So I always just kind of stick to house. But some recent collaborations I've done where people have sent me ideas, they've been in like 105 or like something like 150, and it's not house at all. And so it's really important for me sort of to become more of a versatile producer as well, more of a versatile artist who can make more than just house, because for years I've been training at this one genre, and I realized oh, it's kind of hard to make anything else. So this year, or like last year especially, it was kind of a breakthrough for me, not only in the industry, but as improving as a producer and becoming more versatile and producing stuff which is kind of different to what I've done before, which I hope you have been able to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no way that you can't find what I love about your songs and your tracks, especially your beats. Every time you send me a beat, I'm like, man, this sounds so different than what he just sent me. That's when there's like this spectrum of, you know, sounds that you're kind of dealing with. Do you ever feel like that EDM is either changing too fast or that the trends are kind of like not changing fast enough? Like, how do you feel like the needle moves in EDM? Because it's always changing. And tell me what you think dictates that.
Bro, it is always changing. Like, and nowadays, especially, like, I've seen all these super young producers, even like 14 and like 13 years old, and they're crazy and they're making so much new stuff. Like, I've seen so many new trendy things, like microtonal EDM music is like taken off lately.
Wow.
If you look at what EDM was like 5-10 years ago, it's nothing like it is today. And really, if you showed any Andrew Ray song to anyone 10 years ago, I feel like they'd be like, what the hell? Like, this is so different to anything we've ever heard before. Because I think really as a whole, everyone has sort of just sat down and really improved at producing. Because I think the production quality of EDM is really a lot higher than it was 10 years ago as well. But really in every year, I just see so many great new producers come through. And yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
All right, we're back. I think we're back. Andrew, for a second.
Oh, your brother?
We'll fix it in post. Don't worry. But you know what? I'm going to introduce this next song. This is a song that Frost in India, who I've been also collaborating with, and Andrew A in Australia, they came up with this beat, and they asked me to write something to it. And I wrote this song called Shine with them. And this is Shine with The Element, Frost, and Andrew A.
I am always on the search for more. That's why I keep on knocking on your door. To give a little sense of how I feel. When you and I unite tonight, we share our life, share.
Thank you.
future is your past, but rearranged. Reach for every hope and dream you find. When you and I unite tonight, we share our lives, share our lives.
Totally.
I gotta ask you, like, that drop, like, how did you come up with the sound? Because it is like nothing still to this day that I've ever heard.
Yeah, so the sound, actually, I'm not too responsible for. That was Frost's beautiful work there. Yeah, it's inspired by artists like G-Pole and Zonderling, who use a lot of those synthy sounds, those super high, you know, high pitched, super beautiful saw sounds. So yeah, and I think that was the initial idea that Frost came to me with, was that drop or the break that had that sound in it. The da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And yeah. I thought that's such a cool, like almost like a polyrhythm, like such a unique rhythm, especially for an EDM drop. So I decided to pick it up and work on it. And I can't remember if the idea came with your vocals or if we got it later.
I remember I got a beat and it had like a spatial part and then it had the drop. And so I just kind of like wrote around it, and then you guys kind of cut up the vocal a little bit and put it where you wanted it to, which I love, man. By the way, you know, I've worked with a lot of DJs, and it's so great when you work with a DJ and like they, you know, I don't even know if I've told you this. It's like they send you a beat and it's like the beat's going to inspire the vocal. And
yeah.
I'm going to make a vocal as best as I hear it. And then I expect you to take that and kind of manipulate it and make it into an arrangement that you kind of, you know, want out of it, because that's always when it's like slamming for me, when there's just like, you trust each other. And there's like, there's this like, yo, I respect what you do. I respect what you do. And then there's like this collaboration. And I have that with you, and I have that with a couple others. And there's some DJs that it's like, they get to be super control freaks and they kind of micromanage the vocal and they don't know how to tell me the right notes. And I love that you're never like that, because it makes a difference. It really does. It's like, I live for writing songs, and I take it so seriously, but I also love that electronic music so much. But when somebody makes a beat and it's so good and like, you know, the bones are there, it's undeniable. It's like, oh man, you know what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I hope you continue to keep digging for that next cool sound and that next hip thing. But tell me, like, you know, when you see the trends changing, are there trends where you're like, I'm not feeling that, it's too generic, or it's sounding like what everybody else is doing, or are there people that you're just really kind of inspired by constantly, and that's the genre you kind of want to sit in?
Yeah, well, I've always loved house music, and house has really evolved, especially future house over the years. Like, you hear some future house back in, like, 2016, and you're like, man, that sounds old, like, you can kind of hear how it's evolved. And I've noticed if you kind of follow the trends, it might get you some success in the short term, but you'll always be like chasing the top, not kind of carving your own, path to sort of be at the top sort of things and make the art that you want. So I've always believed that making, you know, what I want will kind of work out for me, and it'll make me more satisfied as an artist as well. So yeah. And I also want to say your lyrics on Shine are just really awesome and super empowering. Thanks. And the singing is super strong, and I loved how we were able to really make a beautiful song, not just in the drop, but the breaks are so interesting to listen to, and it's because of your vocal performance.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that so much. Your beat really inspired a lot of it. So, you know, it's like I always listen, you know, when I'm writing something to, you know, various beats that I get, it's so great when you get something that inspires you. Because there are lots of beats that don't inspire, and you have to like dig even deeper. But man, when you sent me that, it was like, oh, this is easy. This is so easy. It's like, that's what I love most, because it's like, that's when you know it's fun. You know, when it's like, it feels good. It's something that nobody's doing, and it's a sound that is so unique. And that's why it got a lot of kind of buzz, and it's still getting buzz. So it's interesting to see how different DJs have kind of, you know, given props to it. And a lot of it is like, it's truly the collaboration with everybody involved, because that's how it becomes something greater than what we could probably do on our own. You know what I mean? So, and that's what I love about EDM, is it's so conducive to collaboration. And tell me a little bit about that. When you collaborate with another DJ, say Frost or anybody else, how is it that you're able to kind of push beats or something back and forth, and there's no like power struggle where it's just like, you know, you kind of have the same vision, or you have, you know, this, that you're looking at the same thing in the same way? Because it just feels like whenever there's a collaboration with another DJ, everybody's really open and sincere to staying true to that.
Yeah, true. And this kind of relates to how you were saying before, but there's really got to be chemistry between like me and the other producer. Like, you know, if we're constantly pushing back and forth and we just have completely different ideas, and there's almost no point in making a song, because we're just never going to be happy. But yeah, luckily I've found a few producers and singers and artists that I have a lot of chemistry with, and I can, you know, sort of chat to outside of music and just be friends with them. And I think that's really important as well, to really get to know someone and know what they're interested in. And also, you know, have kind of similar ideas to them is really important.
So let me ask you, when you're pitching to labels,
like,
what was the first song you got signed to a label? And that must have made you, how old were you? I think you were like 17, 16, right?
I signed to bigger labels when I was 17 or 16, but I was signing to like these smaller labels when I was like 14.
Wow.
Or like 15 or something. And I don't know if my music was too good, but I guess I was signing music to labels when I was pretty young. But
Know you were 14 and making these songs?
Yeah, I'm like, yo, I gotta get my dad to sign this, like, I'm too young to sign it. And they're like, that's okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much. But yeah, I think I had my first kind of big deal when I was 16, and I signed my song With You to Musical Freedom. That was like huge, because that was Tiesto's that's Tiesto's label, and I'm like, what the hell, like I couldn't even dream of this. And so that was a huge deal for me. But yeah, I've been kind of trying to work my way up for a while, and I think really in the past year the music I've been releasing has kind of been like an ultimate form of all the stuff that I've been working up to in the past 5 or 6 years of learning to produce.
That's awesome. And I think it's hilarious that your dad had to sign your contract. You're like,
I know, yeah.
Dad, sign this big record contract.
Very many. He had to sign.
Did he ever give you like mix notes? I mean, you said he was an audiophile and he was like a mixing engineer. So does he ever tell you like, okay, think about this when you're mixing, like, what are some of the valuable pieces of information that kind of your dad has guided you with that are kind of things that help you to this day?
Yeah. Well, my dad's helped me a lot. He's obviously been very supportive. Like, I just graduated school and he's kind of letting me do music for a bit and see where it takes me, which I'm very, very thankful about for both of my parents. I know my mom's listening right now.
Hi, mom. What's funny, my mom's listening too. My mom listens to the shows every week, so she's listening too.
That's awesome.
Hi to my mom too.
Hi, mom. Yeah. Awesome. But my dad he does sometimes comment on my mixes, and he's like, oh, I wish the vocal could be more compressed, or like, to feed even non-producers, because, you know, they're probably the people who are going to be listening to your song, and I think it's important to kind of cater to all audiences while still keeping true to your art. I think without my dad, I don't really know if I'd even be in this field doing music, because he was the one that really introduced me to you know, music on the computer and mixing and all this crazy stuff. And he really taught me in the beginning, especially kind of the basics. And then I was able to build off of that knowledge and kind of produce my own way, because I really learned by just experimenting and just doing stuff on my own.
Well, the true art to music is listening, and obviously your dad has really kind of taught you that, and you can hear it in the beats that you make. And, you know, what I love too is it kind of transcends, you kind of transcend genres a lot. I know there's a lot of like lines in the EDM world of
you
know, what house is and what, you know, trance is, and like what all these kind of like different genres within the genre of EDM are, but you kind of make different songs for different styles. And that's what I love about what you're doing, because there's a lot of DJs that they can get stuck really easily. And they do one thing, and they, you know, really do that one thing really well. And sometimes they make a whole career of that one thing.
That's
and,
true.
You know, it also dates them, unfortunately. But then you have DJs, you know, like what I love about Daft Punk is they were always pushing the limit. I got to see Avicii at Coachella, and, you know, it was kind of like one of those times where he was right at the peak of what he was doing. This was like maybe 8 years ago, maybe, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was so slamming. I mean, it was such a great show. But, you know, after that, I just started seeing that it was just always the same thing that he was doing, and it wasn't pushing the needle forward. Whereas, like, you hear some of these younger cats like yourself, I mean, I'm hearing more diversity and variety and sounds. Do you ever like pull from world music? Do you ever pull from a genre that's not EDM influenced? Like, are you listening to other things that are outside of the EDM world that are influencing what you're doing? Tell me what that's been like for you.
Yeah. So honestly, like what I'm listening to really is EDM, which is good because I'm kind of making what I want to listen to.
Right.
But what I found recently is pulling elements from like lo-fi and lo-fi hip hop and putting that into house is really cool and really unique. And I think some of the artists, like you were saying before, like Daft Punk, like, yeah, they made a lot of their hits like 20 or 30 years ago, but like they're still just so timeless. And, you know, obviously like the elements they used in their songs, anyone could have made at the time, but they just made it sound so timeless, and they could probably still release it to this day and it would still be a huge song. And I think that's kind of, it's super hard to write because that's all songwriting at the end of the day. Like you can make the craziest, cleanest bass sound with like no resonating frequencies or whatever. But really, if you don't have a great core song, then I think you'll probably be forgotten pretty quickly. So I think that's probably the most important part about my job, and I don't even know if I'm more of a producer than an artist, because really I'm trying to make good timeless songs. That's my number one
job. I mean, honestly, that honestly Shine and a couple other songs we've done, we've got one that's unreleased right now, but all these songs are they are timeless. And it's funny because it's they're not defined by their genre, and that's kind of what I mean. I think you're really elevating a lot of what's happening in EDM. And I think that's what is going to gravitate more listeners, more labels, more collaborations with you. The one thing I always hope for you to do is just stay humble and just always nose to the grind, because nothing is more satisfying than seeing an artist's work just completely evolve and always stay hungry and always keep striving for what's, you know, digging deeper. Who's an artist like that for you that's kind of like gone the test of time, like gone through the test of time and kind of evolved, you know, over and over? Is it somebody like Flume in the last like 8 years, or is it somebody even like, you know, like Giorgio Moroder? Like, who is it for you that's like kind of gone through that evolution?
Yeah. I would say, I think the first artist that comes to mind is Porter Robinson. Porter Robinson, you know, he made all this crazy electro house, super energetic, you know, just festival and club music. And over the years, he's really evolved to making super emotional and experimental. And as I said, timeless music. Like he had this album called Worlds in, I think, 2014. And it just still sounds so modern and so catchy to this day. And I don't think much electronic music in 2014 is as remembered as, say, Porter Robinson. And even, you know, he took a little hiatus for a while and didn't really release much for like 3 or 4 years. And, you know, he just released a new album. I can't remember what it's called, but it's right. Super experimental and like just fresh and new. And it's like every revision of his sound that he does is just so new, and you can't even like, you can always tell that it's him, but it's just, I love Porter so much. He's such an amazing artist.
That's awesome. You know what? I need to check out more of his stuff, and now I will, because of what you just said. This is what I love. It's like about total collaboration. We're going to play something else. What are we going to play next?
Sure. So the next song is my song Anymore, and it's a bit of an exclusive. It just got signed to Spin and Talent Pool, and it will be coming out later this year. So enjoy.
All right. Here it is.
I don't know what to feel anymore.
So slamming. You know what I love that you always do is you have this soundscaping vibe that you do in highs and lows. Like you do like these, you know, octave up jumps either in the hook or you do a vocal and you do them down to. Tell me like what you're thinking when you're doing that, because I love that. It just gives it so much texture.
Yeah, I think doing that really gives the song a lot of movement, especially in the drop, in the first drop. You know, the bass is going like boom, 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 boom. I think that's super bouncy and super catchy, especially for more of a deep house tune. So I really love that song because it's one of the kind of more unique ones I've made in a genre that's sort of so saturated at the moment, which is like deep house, I'd say. So yeah, I really love that song. And also the sound design on the lead in the first drop, there's like a little like flute going like do 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 do, bo bo. So I really love that as well. I look at the project, I don't even know how I made that. Like I bounced it out so many times and like distorted it and like exported it again. Like I can't recreate that. So that's the only time you're going to be hearing that. But
so how many times do you do that for different samples? I know it varies, but is there something where you're like, I recompressed that 40 times? Like do you just keep on adding layers or compressing it until it's right? And when do you kind of feel like that?
I don't even use too many layers for like the synths or the bass or whatever, because really I try to process the one sound in a certain way to make it how I want. I think it's kind of tricky when I keep introducing all these new sounds and then all of a sudden there's like eight layers to the bass and you can't get it to sound all good because like you don't even know what's messing it up. So that's kind of one of the exceptions where I've really gone crazy on a sound and I'm like, oh, all right, I got a new like distortion plugin today. I'm going to do this and then render it out and put some like reverb on it and then I'll cut the reverb. So I got to export it out again and like stuff like that. So yeah, that was a bit of a unique process for me, but that's kind of what this year's all been about, just really experimenting and doing unique stuff.
Now, when you're, you know, when you're buying plugins or you're downloading samples, how often do you feel like that is have to keep adding layer of when artists are doing that? Because it's like giving you a new palette. Is there like, you know, do you ever get tired of the things that you have and you, that's when you kind of see. Right, we lost you for a second. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that.
We're back. Don't worry about it.
So I was talking to you about plugins. Tell me how you you get to the point where you want to add to your, you know, gear list. Like, how do you kind of get to that point?
Mm-hmm. Really, when I see it's sort of when I see other people using stuff, and I'm like, oh man, I wish I had this. Like, there's all these crazy plugins I see other people using now, and I'm like, damn, I really got to save up and I got to get that because that'll really be a good weapon for my arsenal. Because eventually, it's kind of like building a home. Like, once you have all the tools, you don't really need too many more to kind of to build a track. So I've obviously gotten to the point where I have enough software, especially now, to kind of build the song that I want. But always there's always new plugins coming out. And that's what I think is so awesome about music evolving, is that so much music is created electronically and, you know, technology is just advancing so quickly that there's so many new techniques and new things with audio that really we couldn't have imagined a few years ago that can be done now.
Yeah, it's amazing. I also find that technology, I mean, what I find such a trip, and it still trips me out. Mm. It's like, you know, you and I have collaborated with Frost. Mm. You're in Australia, he's in India, and I'm in Los Angeles. And like, we've just been emailing tracks to each other, never hung in person. Well, maybe you two have, but we haven't. And, we just make something so cool and so different. And I find that, you know, without technology, we wouldn't have the means to do that. And I think it's just so crazy that you're in an art form where it's all based on technology and using it to the max. Do you ever find that it's limiting, or do you find that it's just kind of endless that the possibilities are with what's happening?
Like, really, it is endless. But as I was saying before, once it gets to endless possibilities, it's sort of tricky to make something and kind of find the core of just writing a song, because you can be so caught up in all this incredible sound designing and all this really technical production that it kind of gets hard to make a core just good, you know, song with good writing and a really good instrumental. But definitely, if you can use technology as an aid for your production, then it's super, super powerful. And I hope I've demonstrated that in my music, to have, pretty compelling songs as well as really cool sound design and stuff, you know, that wouldn't be possible without technology.
Love it. Andrew, you've been a wonderful guest. Now tell me what kind of shows or upcoming releases that you have coming in the future, and where can people find you?
Yeah, so I have a song coming on Spinning soon. I won't tell you the date yet. Don't know if I can reveal that. But yeah, and I have a few other releases coming later this year. Hopefully going to play some shows down in Adelaide. But yeah, my name's Andrew A, and you can find me on Instagram at Andrew A Official. That's where I usually put all my updates. Find me on Spotify or SoundCloud. And yeah, it's been such an honor to sit down and chat with you finally. after working on
this is long overdue music.
I know. on live on air as well. It's crazy.
And we're gonna have you back too. So every time you have like a bunch of releases, we're just gonna keep having you back, and we're gonna evolve with you. That's kind of the point of this show. You know, I started this show about 7 years ago, and we've had like the producer of Fleetwood Mac on here. I've had Grammy winners. I've had filmmakers and painters. And the cool thing is, it's just been like this endless, beautiful kind of a collaboration of talking art with artists. Wow. And it's so inspiring. So I love meeting artists like yourself. I love seeing young artists too, hustling like you do, because, you know, it kind of gives me faith and hope in the future of music, because, man, there are a lot of people that aren't like that in this industry, you know, above me and below me as far as age, you know. But you definitely, you know, one of the most cutting edge artists out there. And I look forward to more collaborations with you. I wanted to ask you, I didn't get to this question, but when it comes to like labels, you know, there's so many labels coming and going, and there's so many DJs starting their labels, or a label that's a subsidiary of another label.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Like, do you feel like your songs or music in general, as far as the EDM, you know, songs go, do they need to find a home at a certain label, or is it like you want to find whoever believes in it, or is it kind of, do you know that there's certain labels, like, do you ever follow labels because they are releasing certain songs, or how does it work with you when you're looking at labels? Is it kind of like, it doesn't matter? Get that?
Okay, man.
We're getting this question in no matter what.
The show goes on. The show goes on.
So tell me, like, you know, I never, like, in rock and roll, you don't really look at labels as being, you know, one or the other. I mean, there's, you know, when I look at, like, I love old music, like Ray Charles, Led Zeppelin. I love all that old classic stuff. And a lot of those were from the same label, but it didn't necessarily mean I wanted to listen to all of Atlantic's artists, or, you know, exactly. I still feel that way. But in EDM, I find that there are a lot of labels that kind of like, there's a real character or distinction between what labels release certain sounds. Do you think that's a little bit debilitating, or how do you kind of pinpoint where you want a song of yours to go?
Totally. That's right. I think that's really interesting, especially comparing EDM to rock, because I can see that EDM is such a different culture to that, in that the labels are really like they have a sound, and the labels really push the label first. Like on the artwork, they'll have like Mix Mash Bold or like Spinning or something, and you can really clearly see like which label's releasing the song. And I think that's just because the culture in EDM is really different. And like labels do have a sound, and they do have a fan base, which kind of creates a platform for artists to sort of shine on. And you can even, you know, like say an artist, and, you know, someone will say, oh, he's from Hexagon, or he's from this label, and like he's a Hexagon artist or something like that. And I think that's just so wildly different and interesting to a lot of other genres that don't really have that. Like, as you said, you know, like a big pop act like Dua Lipa or something, I don't really know the label she's on or something like that, because it's not so important, I guess. And it would probably be cool for labels to maybe push the artist, you know, like super hard instead of the label, but obviously it's a business, and I think times are changing, and I think labels are trying to become more of a brand now and be more visible, I think, in the listener's eye.
Well, I love that. You know, I recently, I've collaborated with Pretty Pink a ton.
Yeah.
And she just did a show in LA, and she invited me out for it. And it was so cool because she put 3 or 4 of our songs in her set, and I got to watch like the audience react and dance to it and see what was.
Yeah.
It was like amazing to see that. So that's amazing. My hope for you to come to LA and do a show, and we'll do some more collaborations. And just, I'm going to give you a little bit of a carrot. So one of my contacts is the booker for Coachella, and he's booked me for a festival. And one of my plans of attack is I want to collaborate with all these DJs like yourself, and then I want to have a slot with the Element and feature all these DJs that we've collaborated with. So that's my plan. So you make a call that, hey man, we're playing Coachella. Get ready. So that is my plan of attack. Wow. And in the meantime, let's keep collaborating. Let's keep making music. Thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood, man. One more time, where can people find you on Instagram or any of your handles?
My main handle is AndreaOfficial. That's what you can find me on Instagram and SoundCloud. And you can just look up Andrew A on Spotify and I'll be there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being a guest, man. We really enjoyed this. You're a terrific kid and you're an amazing artist, man. So let's keep collaborating and happy new year. And let's keep the music flowing, man.
Yeah. Thanks again so much for the opportunity to be on the show. And I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I'll be back shortly, I hope.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.